All right, we be live. Hello, everyone. I'm here with Rivka reviewing another video from this channel, The Muslim Lantern, debating a Zionist. I see people already in the live chat. People are saying hi. I see you guys. Thank you for being here. Let me know if the audio is okay. Hi, Rivka. Let's check Rivka's audio as well.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hi. All right, so guys, today we're going to be trying something new because this video is longer than the videos that we usually review. So me and Rivka, I know it's going to be very difficult for both of us because we have a lot to say, but we're going to try, and we both have our pens and notepads, right? So we're going to try to let the video go on for like 5 minutes or so every time. And again, this video is full of BS. It's so much BS that we are going to want to open our microphones and say something, but we have decided to be able to do this in 1 hour, to just let the video go for a couple of minutes and just write our notes down, everything we want to say, and then me and Rivka each will get 1 minute to be able to respond to every 5 minutes of nonsense, which is really difficult. I have a timer and everything ready we have to try to, if this is successful, Rivka, if we get to do this successfully and manage to finish this video, that will mean that we could use this method to review longer videos. So right now I can only review 8 minutes, 10 minute videos, but this methodology might help us actually then open the door to a lot more videos if we are successful.
We're going to try hard.
Yeah, right. Okay, so let's see. Let's just start from the beginning and just play this for 5 minutes without saying anything. All right.
Must I have the cam on?
Yes, you must have the cam on. Aren't you a proud Zionist?
Yes, I'm proud.
Yes, keep the camera on.
I wanted to ask you, do you think what Israel does is wrong?
It's a fact that what Israel does is wrong. I don't need to think it. It's a fact.
Okay,
let me ask you a question.
With respect, wait. And what Hamas did, was that wrong?
Can I ask you a question? Okay, I'm going to speak now. Yeah. Now, do you believe that killing innocent civilians is wrong?
Yes, I do.
Okay, then you believe what Israel doing is wrong. Now, you asked about Hamas. If Hamas were killed innocent civilians that had nothing to do with fighting, especially women and children, that is wrong from an Islamic point of view. Absolutely, 100%. I'm consistent. Like, we follow our religion, our teachings. We would not defend someone doing something wrong and pretend that they're not doing something wrong. But what you're missing is this. This is what you're missing. The fact that Hamas did not exist in 1948, when several hundred.
I know, Benjamin. I know for a fact. Sorry for interrupting you, but Israel wanted to make West Bank and Gaza to not be together, so they paid Hamas. I've heard something like that.
Yeah, okay. Whether they paid Hamas or not, I'm not going to make claims I cannot prove. My point is very simple. Look, before Hamas existed in 1948, they killed thousands of people. They displaced hundreds of thousands of people. They did all of these different things with Hamas or without Hamas. So anyone who thinks this has got to do with Hamas is definitely knows nothing about, is illiterate about history. And the fact is, even the UN, which is a group of liars anyways, even those UN, which the West pretends to follow their moral framework, they themselves admit that what Israel is doing is wrong. They admit, they will tell you the stats that in Palestine, the number of Jewish people, how it jumped from 10%, you know, in 1917, and in 1948 became 30, over 33 or 35%. People coming with ships coming from Europe to take over a land that is not theirs and make illegal settlements, that the UN itself will tell you that they made illegal settlements. The UN itself will tell you that they're killing journalists. The UN itself will tell you that they're killing innocent civilians. The UN itself will tell you they're bombing civilians indiscriminately. The UN itself will tell you that there's no Hamas in the West Bank, but they're still killing people.
But okay, but tell me, why isn't your Muslim brothers and sisters speaking out? South Africa did, but I haven't seen non-Muslim country doing the same.
Yeah, when you say your brothers and sisters, you're talking about there's civilians and there's governments, right? I don't run a government.
Dauma.
Yeah, one second. I don't run a government, and nor does like majority of Muslims run governments. And a lot of Muslims live, and they live under certain leadership that they don't necessarily agree with. And for you to think, let me just put it very simply, for you to think that countries in the Middle East do not have already an influence from Zionist leaders, then you would be living in delusion. There's many countries that you would look at that you think that they have their own sovereignty.
My friend, I live with post-traumatic stress syndrome. I take medication, I take Xanax, and I take olazapine and sertraline.
Okay.
So trust me, I've seen many bad things. I'm not here to be an enemy to you. I actually really like your channel.
Okay.
But I'm not going to lie. I'm a Zionist.
Can you define what Zionism is?
For me, it's Israel to be free.
Two states.
50% for Palestine, 50% for Jews.
Okay. Well, that's not the definition of Zionism.
Okay.
No Zionist wants two-state solution. You cannot. If you call yourself a Zionist and you say you want two-state solutions, you're using the wrong term.
Okay.
Because Zionist wants the whole land of Palestine for themselves. That's the definition of Zionism. They want their own state in the whole land of Palestine. They want to displace, remove every Palestinian, every single Palestinian, to the end. Not a single one left in that land. But not only that land. That they're moving, because the land of Canaan is not just the land of Palestine, but they're starting with Palestine. They're moving into Yemen and Syria and all of that step by step, and Jordan, based on what the land of Canaan is for them. So you're not a Zionist if you think of two-state solution, number one. Number two, you cannot claim that you want Israelis to be free when literally Israelis have an army, tanks, and tens of thousands of navy, SEALs, and ships, and air tanks,
All right, so that's the first 5 minutes. I don't know. I have so much to say. That was so much nonsense. First, really quickly, we got a super chat from Secular Sakai, super sticker. Thank you so much, Secular Sakai. All right, Rivka, you go first. Go ahead. Your time starts now.
The first thing I want to say is that it seems very apparent that the Zionist guy is incapacitated in some way. He seems to me high AF. He also said he's on a lot of meds. He's on anti-anxiety meds. He's on antipsychotic meds. So first of all, he's not, in my opinion, in a position to make any rational arguments. Second thing I wanted to say just from the beginning is that the Muslim Lantern guy starts off by saying, if Hamas killed civilians, which to me is he's trying to imply that they didn't kill civilians. Okay. He also says that the UN's a group of liars and they are not to be trusted, which I actually agree with him on but then after he states that they're liars, then he goes on to quote them and quote them and quote them and quote them. Why would he quote someone who he just said is a group of liars? Why should we believe that? And he also implies that the Zionists are running the world by saying, you know, all these Arab countries, you know, you don't think that they're not being controlled by the Zionists? And
all right, we already have finished 1 minute. Okay, let me give me my time. So reset. All right. So really quickly, killing innocent civilians on purpose is wrong, right? But killing innocent civilians, you trying to target terrorists, making it very difficult for you to target them without civilians being killed, and then you ended up killing civilians. If you end up killing civilians, that is the terrorists that killed the civilians, not you. Israel displacing hundreds of thousands of people. Israel did not do that. It was the Arab countries who attacked Israel that ended up displacing hundreds of thousands of Arabs, not the Israeli government. And also said they came and took land that it was not theirs. Technically, that land was no one's. It was the Ottoman Empire's, and Ottoman Empire was collapsed. So it was no one's land except the ones that people who owned privately, and that was being purchased. Nobody took that on by force. Bombing indiscriminately, if they're doing that, they're doing a very terrible job. They're not doing that. It's actually, if you look at the way Israel conducts its targets, it's in modern warfare, it's one of the most targeted ones in history. They do more than any modern army. They have done things to try to avoid civilian casualties. And he got Zionism wrong. I've been to Israel. Many Zionists believe in the two-state solution. Zionism is just the idea that Israel has the right to exist. All right, let's continue.
Good job. You got my second point.
And airplanes. Palestinians have nothing. Going to be free for
me, it's not Jews that control Israel. it's European and USA.
No, you're completely mistaken. I don't think you know what you're talking about. Because if you were to check the IPAC, for example, which is a political party which runs America, literally, which has the biggest lobby in America, it's all Zionist control, funded and controlled by Zionists. Yeah. It's not even, this is on their website. You can just Google it, you know? It's not something I'm saying like a conspiracy or something. It's literally if someone Googles it, I'll check.
No, I believe you.
The Americans are the one who are being controlled, to be honest. It's not that America is the one controlling it. But the thing is, you cannot call yourself a Zionist, as I said. And you say that you want them to be free when no one is imprisoning them. They are the one who is they are the ones imprisoning 2 million people in Gaza in an air prison where they cannot have food, air, internet, or anything. And they're being killed.
But why doesn't Saudi Arabia help people in Gaza?
By sending
money or food or water, or what's stopping them?
Great question. And I'm not going to only say Saudi
because
Arabia.
I've been in Saudi Arabia. I got Israeli passport.
Okay.
I had no problems to enter Saudi Arabia. But okay. Muslims, they can do the same.
Just like all of the Jewish people that came to Palestine had no problem entering Palestine because Palestinians at that time opened their arms for them, opened their houses for them. And then they ended up kicking those Palestinians from their own homes. So the thing is this, look, when you say, why is this country not helping? My point is, to single out a specific country is inconsistent. I believe every Muslim country has a responsibility there. Because if one country does not act, then the responsibility moves to the other Muslim country. If that other country doesn't act, then it moves to the other country. So I completely agree with you. Why are they not acting? I completely agree.
Why
I share the same sentiment. More than you do, even. Yes.
Why do you think they don't act?
I answered you before. I said to think that governments that are in Muslim lands have no influence. They're not being influenced by Zionists is naive. That's the point that I was making. I believe that it is almost very difficult, if not impossible, for someone to become a president in a country without already being approved by certain individuals. Let me put it to you. No one can be just a Muslim leader in a Muslim country without already being approved, quote unquote, by certain individuals. Let me just put it very generally for you. So why? Because Zionists know very well, like if there are good leaders or correct leaders, or if Muslims unite around they're not going to have safety. They're not going to have safety. How are they going to have safety if the countries around them can attack?
I've been in Gaza with military and my brothers in arms. And we took out families in the middle of the night, and we took pictures of the kids and the parents. And
okay,
so I don't lie. I started to question myself about Zionism. Mm-hmm. It's a national thing. It's not. It got nothing to do with Judaism. And,
okay. Do you have a Jewish family? Do you have people there? Is that what you're saying? Half.
Half, yeah.
Okay. So, look, this is the thing. Like, I think a lot of Jewish people would call themselves Zionists just because other people call themselves Zionists. They don't do like their own research and check actually what's going on, see the massacres that are taking place. You said yourself, you went to Gaza and you saw. That's why it changed you, made you question actually what you've been told by the Israeli media.
Trust me, I cried many times because I saw the children. They were scared. Mm-hmm. And we coming in with heavy weapons into their home.
Were you in the army? Were you in the Israeli army?
Yes, I was in the Israeli army.
Okay.
Yeah. and we took pictures and we searched for weapons. And sometimes we took in dogs to the house. And mm-hmm. the children get scared, you know. Mm-hmm. So I didn't feel good for that. And I hope God will forgive me, but it was my job. I served 5 years. I did 1 year training, then I served for the IDF.
Well, this is the thing.
Thing I don't understand, Orthodox mm-hmm. Jews and you guys, you are really close. Mm-hmm. And still there is war. So I mm-hmm. don't blame the Orthodox Jews. I blame mm-hmm. the other people, Europeans and...
Okay.
I'm not gonna lie.
All right, Rivka.
Okay.
Go ahead.
couple points. This guy again is engaging in all these like Zionists run the world, and he talks about AIPAC. Well, that's wrong. Of all pro-Israel, I got a 2018 statistics. All pro-Israel lobbies gave $5 million in change. The largest lobbyist amount of money was the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which was like $94 million. And then it goes the Association of Realtors and all these other things. So that is not true. AIPAC is not giving the most money, and they certainly don't run the country. And I also find it interesting that he's talking about the welcoming with open arms. Yes, maybe some people did get along, but I mean, even in, we can go through the list of massacres against Jews in that area pre-1947, you know, and it was 1920, you know, several, and then there was ones in Jaffa, then there's the Hebron riots. I mean, I can keep listing. There's some riots against Jews again in Jaffa. And so a lot of anti-Jewish violence. So, and it also wasn't their land, as you pointed out. It was at that point, if you're talking around 47, it's British Mandate Palestine. And last thing I want to say is the open air prison. Yes, it's not nice, but it's not a prison. People can go in and out. And this guy, the Zionist guy, he, like many soldiers all over the world, is upset about some of the things he had to do during wartime. And some of them may have been not very nice, or may have been, what's the word? I don't want to use the word, maybe even war crimes. But that doesn't mean that everything Israel does is wrong, or that this Muslim lantern guy is telling the truth on everything.
Right. Okay, so I'm giving you more time than I'm giving myself, but let's try to say these things.
Because I'm running everything.
All right. So let me start now. All right. So yeah, again, this Zionist guy, the IDF soldier, he doesn't seem to be very much there. He seems to have good intentions, but he just doesn't seem to be mentally present, and also very easily believes things as long as the other person says it, or says it to him, just believing what the other guy is saying. Gaza being an open-air prison, first of all, Israel is the one that tries to give access to Gazans to Israel to be able to come to Israel to work there, to bring money back into Gaza. The reason why they had to build the wall is because the wall is a border, and the in Gaza they elected a government for the state that openly announced that their goal is to destroy Israel. Any government will be that is trying to serve its citizens, their number one duty is to protect their citizens. So when a government of a neighboring state tells you that they're trying to destroy you, the responsible thing to do would be to build a wall, just like Egypt also built a wall, because they also understood that these people need to be protected, their citizens need to be protected against these people. The fact that it turned into something like a prison is the fault of Hamas declaring war on its neighbor. Also, the idea of all these Islamic countries, the reason why they're not supporting Palestinians is because they are controlled by the Jews. This is, again, an anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish stereotype. It's a trope. And it's also bigoted against Jews, that you act like they control everything. But it's also bigoted against Muslims, acting like they have no agency. Islamic countries, they don't make decisions on themselves. And if they make decisions, it's because somebody else is telling them. Also, the whole part at the end where this man is upset that regarding the dogs and then coming in and hiding people's houses. It is unfortunate. It is unfortunate that people, children are being scared. But what are you supposed to do if you need to search for things? Dogs are a very effective way to search for things. If the children are getting scared, they will probably get more scared if you were using other methods. Israel, compared to many other countries, uses less invasive ways of searching people. And again, I'm sure bad things have happened and they're condemned, but questioning Zionism because of some people doing bad things is stupid. Anyways, let's continue.
I to you before for like 5-6 years ago, I hated Arabs. I hated not only Arabs, immigrants. I was like a fascist.
But don't you agree that this is what is being taught anyways in Israel? Like people are Arabs are to be hated by. This is what you're taught.
I'm not gonna lie. When our children are born, we tell them what Arabs gonna be. They're gonna be our slaves. And yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So look, at least you're honest. You're saying these things, right? You're saying the
truth. Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. I believe in one God, and I started to read about Islam and Judaism.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Look, I'll tell you two things, actually. First, where did you serve? Like, which part in Gaza? Did you go to Gaza that time? Or was it in this conflict or before?
No, before, like 3 years ago.
3 years ago. Okay. You see, this is because a lot of people think this all started October the 7th. They don't know all of these things have been happening for years and years and years.
It's been 75 years, yeah.
So look, I'll tell you this. Look, a lot of people they might have hatred towards you, and they're talking like they don't like because what you said you did or go or what they see happening to the children, all of that. But this is the difference between us as humans acting emotionally and Allah. Allah Azza wa Jalla is a forgiving God, is a forgiving and a merciful creator. And the Prophet ﷺ, he told us of a story of a man who killed 99 souls. Then he went to a monk and he asked him, "Is there any forgiveness?" So the monk said no. So he killed the monk. Then he went to the person of knowledge and he said to him, "Is there any forgiveness?" So the person of knowledge told him, "Who can close the door of repentance for you? No one can stop the forgiveness of God from coming to you. No one can stop God from forgiving."
That's actually what's drawing me to Islam, because in the Bible we kill children, women, animals, everything.
Yeah, I know. I've read the Bible. I've read like 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 3, for example. Or what Jeremiah was doing, going around killing the children, taking over the land from the Canaanites. I know, I understand. Like, and they told you these things, and they teach you these things, and they tell you this is the right thing to do. This is God, we're God chosen people. You're doing the right thing, but you deep down, because you have a conscience as a human being, you start feeling, you know, this is not the right thing to do. When you look at a child, you're still a human being.
To be honest, it affected me really hard, man, to watch the children shaking. And we are with the dogs in the house, and the dog is barking. And some of my soldiers, they say in Arabic to the people, "Stay at the wall, we're going to take pictures." And like make jokes about them, like, "Don't be scared, we're not going to kill you." So I couldn't take it. I got sick 1 year. I got PTSD.
What I can tell you is this. I can tell you, look, Allah can punish the people in different ways. And you understand this very well. You can see the psychological trauma or pain is far stronger than the physical.
Yeah.
That's why the Palestinians are free. People think they're not free, but they're free inside in their souls. You can see them. You know, they're free inside because they know there is an afterlife. You know that Allah Azza wa Jalla is for them. Allah Azza wa Jalla is protecting them. But this is something the Israeli soldiers will never have. That's why they will have fear. That's why they're afraid. Even if Hamas, who don't have weapons, they will still be afraid of them, because they fear death. While Muslims do not fear death, they fear the Creator alone. But the only way you can save your soul is by coming to Allah Azza wa Jalla and repenting and accepting Islam and trying to do good deeds in the rest of your life. The only way you can get forgiveness, you can seek forgiveness, is from Allah. Not from me, not from any other human being. You can go to any doctor, he'll tell you anything, it's not going to help you. The only person that can change your life, the only person that can accept your repentance is Allah Azza wa Jalla. He's the only one who can forgive you. He's the only one who can change your heart. But the only way you do that is you have to accept Islam. You have to submit to Allah Azza wa Jalla. You have to start following the teachings of Islam. You have to start praying. You have to start speaking out, because you have an experience. You've been in the army. You can talk about your own experience, like you're doing right now, of what these people are actually doing, like what the Israeli army is actually doing to the people. You speak about.
All right, so. Go on, Rivka.
Okay, couple things real quick. The fact that some Jews might be bigoted doesn't mean all Jews hate Arabs, and vice versa. Some Muslims might not like Jews. That doesn't mean all Muslims hate Jews. That's just a ridiculous point. I do think that the Zionist guy made a good point about the awful things in the Bible. A lot of in the Old Testament, a lot of those stories are very violent, but you're going to find that in the Quran. You're going to find that as well, and they're all built on the same thing. So if there's bad stories in the Bible, they just carry through into Islam. They're all Abrahamic. I also find it interesting that the Muslim lantern guy uses a very thing that people in prison say: they're free on the inside because they believe in the afterlife, which just tells you that this life doesn't matter. You know, if that, that's whatever's happening here doesn't matter. You can, And you could turn his logic around and say, okay, well, if this life doesn't matter, then people seem to be free to do whatever they want, which would be, you know, kidnap children or, you know, terrorist acts. And the thing about Jewish only forgiveness for Allah, that's not true. Once a year, the highest holiday in Judaism is Yom Kippur, which is it is centered on atonement and repentance.
Right.
So I think before I did a minute.
You did. That was very good. But before I'm forced to mention that we have been demonetized. So again, and it's gone, guys. It's gone. But please try to fight this demonetization and deprioritization by liking the stream. I see people are encouraging other people in the stream to like. So please go ahead and do like the stream so people end up seeing the stream. It's very important that you do that. Thank you for everybody who is doing that. So here's my point. So let me actually make sure I also have my timer on. All right. So first of all, the Muslim Lantern acts like he is knowledgeable and knows things about Israel. And he has the idea that in Israel, they teach everybody to hate Arabs, not knowing that, you know, I don't know, Arabs are 20% of Israel and they have the most amount of rights, freedoms and well-being than Arabs in any other Arab or Muslims in Israel are better off than Muslims in any other Muslim country. So there's that. Also, Israel is very, you know, the views in Israel, we have fascists, we have good people, we have people with bad beliefs, we have people with good beliefs in Israel. Israel is not, people don't have the same views. And also Israel is very self-critical. You know, we have people in Israel that hate Arabs and we have a lot of people in Israel that criticize, you know, a lot of people who are not Arabs themselves and are against such fascistic views. Israel, if anybody like studies Israel's media, they could see how self-critical Israel is and how criticism of Israel itself is welcomed in Israel. The idea when he asked him, oh, they teach you to hate Arabs, the Zionist guy said, like, yeah, we tell our children that you know, Arabs are going to be our slaves. He's referring to this very religious views by some Jews that all non-Jews eventually will become slaves. And again, this is a very extremist belief that a very few minority of very religious Jews have in Israel. And most Jews are secular, and most Jews, even Jews that are religious, most of them don't actually believe that. And also when it comes to talking about learning in the Old Testament that, or the Jewish scriptures that God commanded to kill children, that is true. But we have that if he's considering it Islam because of that, you have to understand that in Islam also, Muhammad sold children, you know, sold children of Banu Qurayza to slavery to be able to buy weapons and horses with that. So not, you know, maybe it's better that he didn't kill them, but again, that's a very low standard. He sold children to slavery. All right, and I think I said everything I want to say. Oh yeah, the whole idea of them telling the children to don't be scared, we're not going to kill them. That's probably, if children are scared, that's probably something good to tell them. That is a good thing to tell them. So let's continue.
We used to do terrible things. We throw in shock grenades into the houses, and laughed. And I can tell you a thousand stories.
I need you to speak because the reason this is important is for people to see, because, you know, there's a lot of lies spread in the media.
You know, because since like 2 years ago, mm-hmm. I started to change in my mind and I felt in my heart what I'm doing is wrong. This is not human, man. It's the devil. Mm-hmm. You can't do things like that. One time we put a dog barking on a kid and the kid started to piss himself. And everybody left and the mother was crying, and what can I say? I'm just honest. God listen, he sees everything, he hears everything. I wish God forgives me. I was younger then and I was not journalist, so
wallahi, look, the doors of Islam are open. The doors of forgiveness are open of Allah Azza wa Jal, but they're only going to be shut when you die. And we don't know when we're going to die. If you want Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive you, I told you the only way. The only way that Allah Azza wa Jal is going to forgive you is that you repent from the deeds that you did by accepting Islam. And now from now on, trying to do your best to let people know what is going on. to explain to them.
I would lose every friend if I became Muslim.
Do you know what you would lose if you didn't become Muslim?
Yeah,
first your sanity, and the second thing, your afterlife.
Yeah.
You can pretend. Look, you can take medication. You can take no amount of medication you're going to take is going to cure what you've seen.
It doesn't cure, brother. It just makes me go to sleep. That's what it does.
Yeah, nothing is going to cure it because people, they do these actions. I don't know how some people in the army do these things. They do these actions and they think there is no consequences.
Brother, many people took drugs. But they don't tell that in media. Hmm. So, yeah.
They take drugs so they can not feel anything when they're doing these things.
Right? Yeah. We took Valium, Xanax. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we took cocaine. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Allah understand.
So we become like more brothers when we was on drugs. Look,
you're fine. You're a lot better than if someone wants to become Muslim in Tel Aviv or something like that. If he wants to become Muslim there, he's got a lot of things to worry about. You, on the other hand, has you are in a country where you shouldn't have a problem by doing that, by accepting Islam.
Yeah.
If it was the friends, no one can have a better friend or a better protector than Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Just been scared. I don't want to lie. If I go and visit a mosque and take the Shahada, mm-hmm. I want to be honest to them and tell them his history.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have to do the Shahada in a mosque. You can do it right now. There is no need for you to go to a mosque to.
Could you do it right now?
We can do it if you're ready. If you want to do it, I can do
it. Let's do it, bro.
Are you sure?
Yeah, let's do it. I'm gonna
let's do it, inshallah. We'll do it in English first and then we'll do it in Arabic, inshallah. Okay.
Okay.
So say after me, I testify.
There's
nothing worthy of worship.
It's nothing worthy than worship.
Except Allah. And I testify. That Prophet Muhammad. Is his messenger.
Is his messenger.
And servant. We'll say the same thing now, but in Arabic, inshallah. Yeah.
Okay.
Say Ashhadu.
An.
La.
Ilaha.
Illa Allah.
Wa ashhadu.
Anna. Muhammadan.
Rasul. Allah.
That's it, brother. It's like. You don't need to go to a mosque. You don't need to go to anyone. You go to the Creator. You go to the Creator who sees you testify because you're testifying for God. If you say you worship, you believe in Allah, He's the one worthy of worship. You believe Prophet Muhammad is His messenger. You believe the Quran is from God. You believe in the prophets of God. You believe you need to do good in your life. You want to seek repentance. You need to seek forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's what matters. To us, you are our brother in Islam now. What happened in your past, happened in your past. And look, I'll say this because a lot of Muslims, this might be
difficult. Do you know any prayers before you go to sleep? Because I got much flashbacks.
Yes, brother. War. Yes. There is many, and you need to send me your information, inshallah. You need to
send me your email on the chat.
Yeah, I'll put your email, inshallah. Or okay, you put your email, I'll try to contact you.
Okay, brother.
Instead of you contacting, put your email.
His name changed from Zionist to Muslim. Did you see that?
I actually wrote that down. Now all of a sudden, as soon as he took the Shahada, now boom, Muslim.
But we got another super chat from Secular Sakai. Thank you so much, Secular Sakai. All right, Rivka, you want to go first?
You go first. My dogs are barking.
Oh, okay. Right. So first of all, if this person has done the things that he says he has done, like if him and his buddies have thrown shock grenades in people's houses, then he needs to report that because IDF does punish soldiers who behave like that. And again, the actions of a few bad soldiers does not represent the entire policy of the IDF. This is such a weak anti-Zionist propaganda. Like, oh, are there any armies that don't have bad actors within them? Are you going to judge an entire country's existence because of bad soldiers? That's very stupid, right? And also, again, if you had soldiers, you know, using dogs to scare children while laughing at the mothers who's crying and the child pissing himself or herself, and you're laughing at that, again, that's behavior that is condemned. You know, I'm sure also, again, people who say that that doesn't happen within IDF, you know, you're wrong. Every army has that. Every army has bad actors. It is there. You don't need to deny that that exists to defend Israel and the IDF. But the good thing about IDF is that it has higher standards, and these things go punished more than it goes punished on, you know, in other armies and in that region. Also, I just want to say how disgusting, you know, the Muslim Lantern is being, who's taking advantage of this person who's obviously having, you know, some mental issues and seems to be vulnerable, and turning this into a stunt. Is such an opportunist, like taking this person's, you know, crisis, or, you know, the any issues that he has because he has been involved in war. He seems to be on drugs. I can't tell. Again, I'm not an expert. I'm not a mental health professional to be able to detect what kind of issues he's having. But he himself is saying he has some issues. He seems to have some sense of guilt. And, you know, religions often take advantage of vulnerable people. And again, the Muslim Lantern is using this person as a way. Like, how pathetic and desperate do you have to be to think like this is a video good to show how Zionism, how bad Zionism is? Imagine if I go and find a Muslim that cannot even properly defend Islam and come and bring it to you, and the person is like having problems, having mental issues, and is breaking down, and I bring it that person here, and me talking to them and, you know, trying to easily convince them that they're wrong, and then that person just breaking apart in front of a camera, me showing that look how bad Islam is just because of how, you know, if you want to, the Muslim Lantern, if you want someone to defend Zionism and to show that how bad Zionism is, like, maybe bring me on, okay? Bring me on. I think I'll do a better job than this guy, right? Like, this is pathetic. This is you just being an opportunist and taking advantage of someone's mental issues. But go on, Rivka.
So I was going to agree with that. I think, and as you said, oftentimes that's when people try to get people to convert or to come into religion, is when they're at their lowest, they're at their most vulnerable, and they give them these false hope that things are just going to change if they just, you know, believe or switch religions. And yeah, and this guy is on antipsychotics and anti-anxiety meds. So he's in a position to, he may not even be competent to make certain decisions. Also, this thing that the soldier said about how he regrets some of the things, he feels bad. This is a common thing for soldiers all over the world. Every army has certain things that may not be good, or even if they are fighting, they might feel bad about having to kill people or do some. This is a common theme. And I just want to say it's not indicative of just the IDF, okay? It's very common, yeah. A lot of soldiers. And also, I do think that it's interesting that this guy has now just forgot, the Muslim Lantern has just forgotten about his whole point about politics or Palestinians or Israelis or Zionism. All now he's like, okay, ready to do some dawah. You know, like that's all that matters at this point. He's just put that aside. And I do want to go back to something he said before, is that he says Hamas has no weapons. Not true. They have RPGs. They have guns. They have rockets. And not only do they use them against Israeli civilians, they use them against their own people. They absolutely have weapons, you know. So this idea that Palestinians are just poor defense, or, you know, Hamas is just poor and defenseless and has nothing, not true. And they started this most recent thing with the weapons that they have.
All right, and, let's go. That was 2 minutes, and then we just got a super chat by Dr. Zulan saying 15 shekels. Thank you so much for the super chat, saying, I really don't know if this guy is a real Israeli or not, but the things he says are just too outlandish. no Israeli will be this anti-Zionism. Actually, Dr. Zulan, I disagree. You can never tell if somebody is real or not, but there are people like him. Okay, so whether or not he is actually being honest here or not, there are IDF soldiers who have done bad things. Of course there are. Like every military has that. And I've been to Israel. There are anti-Zionist Israelis. I met anti-Zionist Israelis. So they do exist. When I was in Tel Aviv, I met even secular Jews who are defending terrorist activities against Israel. They were like, oh, based on the things that we have done to them, I'm not saying they are a lot of them, but they're saying like, oh yeah, they have every right to do the things that they're doing to us because of what, like, I'm just saying Israel is filled with people with different beliefs. You cannot generalize Israelis' views, right? But thank you for the super chat. And David is saying, Lantern versus Armin. Yes, yes, Muslim Lantern. My DMs are open on Twitter. Armin Navabi, if you want to search for me on Twitter, here's my name right here. So on Twitter, my DMs are open. I would be happy to talk to you about Zionism because you seem to be wrong about everything that you understand about Zionism. I could educate you and you could educate me. I will be open to converting to Islam if you could show me why Islam is right. But you should also be open to why Zionism is correct. Okay, we will both be open. Let's have a conversation. All right, let's continue. Oh, guys, make sure you like the stream. Like the stream right now. More people need to see this.
Well, inshallah.
Like the stream.
Or can you get my email if I put my email instead of you putting yours? Yeah, I don't want anyone sending you anything. Let me put my email.
Can you put
instead.
It on the chat?
Yeah, I'll put it. Instead of someone else sending you something that is not good, maybe. Okay, this is the email. Can you take a screenshot?
Yeah, I took a screenshot.
Okay, look, brother, this is what I want you to understand. Look, right now you're a Muslim from our point of view. If you're talking about friends, Muslims open their doors for everyone. And I want this, a lot of people to understand this, that even the Muslims watching this. We don't look at someone's past before they accept Islam. Some of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ was trying to kill him before they accepted Islam. They were attempting to take his life, which is greater than anything you would do. To kill the messenger.
Yeah, I've read he lived a very tough life.
Yes.
Muhammad, peace be upon
him. And when they accepted Islam, he told his companions, the same thing I'm going to tell you now, is that Allah Azza wa Jal forgives the sins of the past and the mistakes that you did. But you have to change your life, brother. You need to fix things mentally in your mind. You're talking about prayers. That's a good thing to look for. I'm going to send you, inshallah. You just email me. You email me your details. I'll connect you with people. I'll send you prayers to say. I'll send you how to pray and all of that, which is important. You need to change your life into the right direction through doing that.
You cannot change your life.
I believe you. I know. Yeah.
Everything medication.
This is a psychological issue that you will need to deal with yourself. You need to confront yourself with this issue. You need to understand that what you did was wrong. You need to seek forgiveness. And the only one who can change your heart and cure your heart is Allah.
Bro, I'm scared, you know, for things I've done. I'm scared God gonna punish me, you know. And it's not only me, more people are turning against Zionism.
Mm-hmm.
Many of my friends, I told them to call you up because they also feel not good. And they've seen things and done things, God forbid, that, you know, they're shooting people with sniper. I have seen a guy throwing stones. They shoot him simply, just kill him on the spot. So,
you know, Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, brother, I want you to understand this very important thing. Allah Azza wa Jal is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He's the most forgiving, the most merciful. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. If my servants ask you about me, I'm near. I'm near.
Is it written in the Quran about it,
yes,
that it will come hard times for Muslims?
Yes. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Quran, In chapter 2, that لَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ will test you with loss of life, loss of hunger and fear. Will test you with these things. In fact, Allah Azza wa Jal said that the people, children of Israel, will take the Masjid al-Aqsa from you. And they will cause great corruption. All of that is written in the Quran. Chapter 17, you can read it. So Allah has told us that we will be tested, afflicted. Allah said, وَنَبْلُوهُمْ بِالْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. So we can return to Allah Azza wa Jal. So not only you returning, but Allah sending. Because Allah has different soldiers. And some of these soldiers are much stronger. Like fear is stronger. is a soldier of Allah. Fear.
Placing fear in someone's heart. I got, brother, one last question. I use an app. It's called Musa. It's a map for marriage, Muslim woman. Mm-hmm. Is it a sin to use such a map? App? Sorry.
Whatever you've done before, brother, don't worry about that. I know you're talking about Muzmatch or something like that. That's the name.
Yeah, but
that app is very problematic. But the thing is, this is not to worry about. That's in the past. Don't worry about it. Use the original. It's not a big deal, inshallah. It's a small.
I can't believe I took the shahada.
I can't believe it. You know, you can. You think when I added you, your name is Zionist? I don't even think that we're gonna get to this point. You know, but this is Allah Subhanallah. This is Allah Azza wa Jalla's plan. Wallahi, this is Allah Azza wa Jalla's plan, and it's we.
I believe that too. Nothing happens without God allowing it to happen.
And this is like, we as Muslims need to always understand this. Forgiveness is in the hands of Allah, and we are not the ones who determine who we forgive, who we don't forgive. We're not the ones who we say, okay, you did this in your past, we're not going to forgive you. This is not
only,
in our hands. It's in the hands
of Allah. God can judge me. Yeah.
Okay, brother. Send me your details, inshallah. Send me your details.
I will
keep in contact with you personally, inshallah.
I put on the chat my email.
Yeah, no problem. I see it in the private chat. I'll keep in contact with you, inshallah.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a good day.
Okay, brother. Thank you.
Bye, brother.
Assalamu alaikum. See you, brother. Allah Azza wa Jal guides whom He wills, brothers and sisters. Allah Azza wa Jal guides whom He wills. And yeah, we need to understand that, you see, subhanAllah, these are things we don't see. These are things we don't see. Like, these are things the media will never show you. It will never show you what actually psychologically happens to these soldiers. Because we've seen the videos. We've seen what happens to the Palestinians. We've seen the amount of massacre that is taking place today. And in the end, the people who are doing these massacres are human beings. Like, they still are human beings. So they have a psychological mind. And that psychological mind will be affected by the actions that they do, by these things that they've done to these children. It will be affected whether they want it to be affected or not. And Allah Azza wa Jal can send His different types of soldiers, whether that be fear, whether that be psychological pain, that no matter how many medication. Look, this internal struggle, you cannot compare it with anything physical or external. It is far greater than what people can imagine. And these traumas will, because you know you're doing something wrong. Children, you are frightening children. What's the point of frightening a child? Like, a child is not going to fight you back. And you know that deep down, and you can see their face, you can see their expressions. So you can imagine the amount, because he was saying, even his friends, you can imagine the amount of psychological trauma that these soldiers are having because of the things that they do. And the afterlife is there as well. Allah Azza wa Jalla has allowed him to come back to seek forgiveness, to try to rectify his life. But many people will not come back. And no one can escape from Allah Azza wa Jalla. But make dua for him, brothers and sisters, like that Allah Azza wa Jal keeps him guided on the truth, you know, because in the end, we are still human beings, and he regretted what he's done. And I don't know even what to say, to be honest.
All right, Rivka, go ahead.
Okay, couple things. I find it really interesting that Muslim Lantern has this very sort of high moral ground demeanor, like he's made this big coup against Zionism, which it seems like it's ego thing for him. Many are turning against Zionism, according to the Israeli guy, the Zionist guy. That's his opinion. He has no idea what people are doing or not doing. And I also find it interesting, he talks about the app for marriage. It's so like it's the forbidden fruit. It's tantalizing to do something that some people would find, you know, very objectionable or against religion, that's just very common amongst young people. They want to do something that, you know, it's going to make people upset. And I found that really funny that he brought that up. Another point is that Israel hasn't taken Al-Aqsa Mosque. It's the reverse, actually. The mosque is built on top of the Jewish temple in the Dome of the Rock. And Israelis aren't allowed to go pray there. So it's the reverse. And I've also, when he said the media doesn't show this, this is not true. They show it all the time. They have an absolute hyper focus on the occasional wrongdoings of the IDF or some bad things that may have happened. That's what they focus on. They don't focus on the good things or the helping or anything else. They hyper focus on that. So that's not true. And then he also says that you shouldn't massacre people. It's affecting you. It's, you know, first of all, it's not a massacre. They're fighting terrorists. But if it affects him, is it affecting the minds of the terrorists and the people who do things on the other side? And he says, why you shouldn't take children? Well, then why did Hamas kidnap children and kill them? You know, this guy is just taking all of this and putting everything bad that ever existed was on Israel. And this one Zionist who's on a butt or ex-Zionist or whatever he is, who's looking for a wife, showing all his meds, completely confused, perhaps not even competent to really have some of these conversations, that this guy is representative of everybody. And I think that that's just like, this guy feels like the Muslim Lantern. He's made some sort of amazing coup. He took advantage of a vulnerable person is what he did.
By the way, some people in the live chat think that this whole thing was fake, but I don't think it's fake. I think you can find people like this and take advantage of them, especially given that he was like, okay, so now that I'm a Muslim, can I get some Muslim woman, please? Thank you very much. I don't think they would include that in the video. I don't think that would be part of the script. That is a very... do you agree, Rivka? I think this was real.
It seems to me that it's real. Like, if this guy is faking it, he's doing an amazing job of acting like someone who's really out of it, who doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, this guy should get an Academy Award then, because he really seems like he's confused. He's, you know, high AF. No. I don't think so.
Yeah, again, because I don't think it's scripted, because if it is, it's the best acting of all time. And if it's also scripted, I don't think they would include like a Muslim woman, please, can I marry Muslim right now that I'm a Muslim? Like didn't wait 5 minutes before he became a Muslim. Can I, like, where am I, Muslim woman now? Like, did it first also, thing on his mind.
Also, if it were scripted, I think they would have given more examples of bad things. He would have been able to give a better definition.
Right.
His answers were sort of very opinions and also not very clear. And he was obviously confused and not really even listening or responding to what Muslim Lantern was saying. No, I don't think it's scripted. I think it's just a situation, you know, and so it happens. So some guy feels bad about what he did. He's not interested in, Zionism anymore. Okay, but does that mean that's representative of everybody? No. And does that mean what he's saying is right? Not necessarily. Right. And it also doesn't mean that the Muslim Lantern, with his sort of, you know, high on the mountain, you know, seemingly moral high ground, doesn't mean what he's saying is right, because he said a lot of wrong things.
Right. All right, so we got a super chat by Benny saying, this is traumatic to listen to as an ex-evangelical Lantern taking advantage, and this will not help this guy. So sad and evil what Lantern did. Yeah, thank you so much for your super chat. Guys, by the way, we have been demonetized. This stream has been demonetized, so we really do appreciate the super chats. And also, I appreciate the people who are liking the stream, because even if you're not doing super chats, we have been deprioritized because of the demonetization. So the likes help us, really do help us get in front of more eyes. Addy saying, interesting thing, our own media focuses on that. Yeah, like the whole idea of the soldiers, IDF soldiers having issues, having mental issues after the war, because of the war, doing questionable things, all of these things. And it's like he said, like, oh, the media would not show you this. Israeli media is obsessed with that. They show that. They are critical. They show the problems. They do. I don't know what you're talking about. A lot of this, by the way, a lot of Muslims don't know. A lot of Muslims who are critical of Israel don't know that the information they have against, I don't know, Likud or Netanyahu are the information that Israeli journalists dug out. The only reason why you know the evil things that maybe happened within the IDF or the Likud party is because Israel has a strong media that is self-critical. That's why you have that information. That's why I defend Israel, because it has a media that is this self-critical. Go on, Rivka.
So some people in Israel don't like this group, but because it's a free democratic country, and they are, right. They is an entire organization called Breaking the Silence, which is made up of Israeli soldiers who talk right. about their feelings about what they have done or what has happened. They take people on tours. They publish books. They do all kinds of things because they live in a free, open society that allows them to criticize the government or allows them to criticize policy. And not just this Breaking the Silence, but all kinds of people. So I find it really interesting. Everyone, a lot of times all over the world, particularly in Muslim societies, who live in a country where they aren't free to criticize, where they can't form these political organizations, are constantly saying, oh, this doesn't happen in Israel. Well, it's not true. It does. And to your point, that a lot of the information that they have about these things do come from reporters or organizations or soldiers or concerned citizens. It is an open society. People are constantly criticizing the government or saying what they think or talking about what they agree with or what they don't agree with.
Right, right. Somebody in the live chat, the Buff Don, saying, who watches this? Well, I have news for you. 500,000 people watch this video. Almost 500,000 people. This is a new the Dawah channel that is growing. The Muslim Lantern has a quarter of a million subscribers. And this video was very popular. This is why we need you guys to subscribe to this channel. And not only that, hit the bell notification and tell people to come subscribe to Atheist Republic. Because these channels and this kind of propaganda is growing, and it's growing really fast. And there's not that much pushback. Like, go find a video that is a pushback to this. We are the pushback, and you need to support us, or else these will just be there. These videos are convincing a lot of people, unfortunately. So you need to support this channel so that we have a good response out there, at least like for people who are looking for a response. I do want to mention about the whole guilt, you know, after Islam, all the things that you did in the past is forgiven. That to a lot of people sounds very beautiful and very appealing. I just want you to understand how dangerous that is. Okay. Guilt is a good thing. Guilt is a good force, right? You're supposed to feel guilty. You know, me as a utilitarian understand that a lot of the drives that we have for, you know, so we come up with ethical structures, but none of those ethical structures, there wouldn't be a motivation to make those if we didn't have a drive to make the world a better place. One of those natural inherent drives that we have is when we feel guilty about the things that we do, when we see people harmed and we want to reduce that, when we did something and we reevaluate that and we want to do something in the future and encourage other people to stop doing it. You don't want to get rid of guilt. Guilt is something that has utility. The only way you want to get rid of guilt is to make up for the things that you have done. That's the method of getting. So religion provides you a way, a cheat code, to get rid of guilt by doing something that is useless, by converting to Islam. I want people to understand how dangerous that is. They are taking advantage of a natural feeling that you have, which is guilt. And instead of that, the guilt that usually ends up making people behaving better, they use that as to their advantage to get people to join their cult. So it's a recruiting tactic to get rid of a really natural desires that we should be having. I just want people to understand how problematic that is, and how taking advantage of your religion does that. Religion takes care of your natural fears, your natural desires, your natural dreams, and you know, your guilty feelings or any other form of sadness or depression that you have. It takes advantage of that. And instead of coming in with worldly, scientific, proven methods to address that, it comes up with a way not to do something that is not in your advantage, but it only helps it cult to grow. So I just want people to notice that. Rivka, do you have any? Yeah, go on.
Yeah, so I absolutely agree with what you're saying. And I also want to point to the super sticker. I'm sorry, I forgot your name, but the person who was the evangelical who said that it was traumatizing. Evangelical Christians tend to do this a lot too, is they're looking for people who are vulnerable, who have something that they feel guilty about or that they wish to change about themselves. And they give them this lie that it just magically all goes away. And Benny Wolf, that's his name. Not only does it magically go away, but I also think it offers this sort of excuse to do certain things or to not make any kind of repentance in the real world for some of what you've done, or the amends, or change your behavior, or even address the psychological issues. It just, you know, doesn't matter, because in the afterlife, that's what matters. From this moment on, when you accept, you know, say the Shahada, or you accept Jesus as your savior, then it just washes everything clean. You don't have to do any of the emotional or mental work. And it doesn't matter anyways, because now I'm forgiven in the afterlife. So whatever I do now, it's A, not as important, and I don't have to worry about it much, because I'll just, you know, ask God. You know, it's like that comedian who says, you know, I used to pray for a bike as a child, yeah, and I never got it. So then I realized that's not how God works. So I stole one instead and asked for forgiveness.
Yeah. Anyways, Rivka, we made it in an hour. We did it in an hour. We did it. That's amazing. Guys, so we can do more reviews of longer videos now with this method. So make sure you like the stream. Make sure you leave it after the show is over. Please leave a comment. The comments, the more we have comments under the show, the more people will end up watching this video. And I do spend, you know, sometimes, again, I can't read all the comments, but I do read as many comments as I can. So please leave some comments after the show. Thank you, everybody, and see you on the next show. Bye.
Yalla, bye.